Bonjour à tous. I want all of you that are Hispanic to know that I have told many of the French brethren in Cameroon that Spanish is the language of heaven. Because I've been told that by many students at Zion Ministerial Institute when they've come that Spanish is the language of heaven. So I don't know how I said bonjour à tous, meaning hello everyone or such like, which is in Cameroon where we are, it's English and French. And I speak es muy poquito French, but I work at it, so praise the Lord. Yeah, it's been a long time. Well, it's been maybe five, 6 years since I've been here. And I don't know for my wife if you were here the last time I was here or not. Winter camp, we had them here a few times. And some wonderful memories from the, what do you call that below there? I don't know, the outdoor pavilion or whatever. In the midst of praising the Lord and praying, you're like slapping the mosquitoes and the bugs and everything. Anyway, I was in Canada cleaning my office this week, and I found some T-shirts. Here's a T-shirt from 2005. Now, I know most of you don't remember this, but some of you do, right? Do you remember that? Okay. And I found another one, and they didn't fit me ever. They were the boys. They weren't my size ever. So, and this one, God's Ultimates. That's I don't even, what year was that? I don't even remember what year. What was it? Okay, 04. Okay, so a lot of memories, and I want to thank Daniel and Sarah and all of the team that organizes these camps. Are you not thankful for all of their labor? Amen. Amen. You know, without all of that work and prep, and I include, you know, many in that are involved in helping, we're so thankful for, you know, all that they do. And, you know, camp, and winter retreats when we had those as well, but just a very important, important time and opportunity to meet with the Lord. And I want to say to you tonight that the Lord wants to meet with you, with all of us. And he wants to do something by his grace and his power. And that means our part is really to cooperate with him and allow him to do that, because we can't do things in our own strength. Amen? We need the Lord's strength. Turn to your neighbor and say, you need the Lord's strength. Amen. Okay. Now, we're talking about overcomers this week. I noticed that there are teams set up as normal for camp, right? And every team, if you're a real team member, you want to lose. No, you want to win. You want to overcome. You want to win. You want to be victorious. And you want to achieve the goal of overcoming the others as well. Now, in the thought of being an overcomer, in Revelation 3 and verse 21, which is the theme verse, next slide please, theme verse, to him who overcomes will I grant to sit with me on my throne as I also overcame. So Jesus is the example for us of an overcomer. Now, I'm standing here and I feel old tonight. Now, it's very interesting, though. The average age in North America, you take all the old people and the young people and the middle people and put them all together, is probably around about 45 years of age. In Cameroon, you take the average age and put them all together, and it's probably about 18. And the vast majority of the population is under 25 years of age. So I'm living in a nation that's full of many, 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 many young people. And we want to, whether in Africa or in the United States, in Canada, whatever, in North America, when you're old and you're looking, I'm thinking of, do they still use that term generation gap, you know? Here I'm in my 60s and you're in your, what, you know, teens or whatever. And there's always this gap. I was talking to my wife about some of the things, and she was helping with some of the PowerPoint, and we're using different terms and laughing, you know, like different words are not used anymore because it's a different generation. I mean, do you say cool anymore? Oh, you do? Okay. Okay, then that's not too bad. What was the other one you used, dear? Sweet. Do you say that? Yeah. Yeah, okay, what else? Sick. Do you say that? What's that? Hype. Oh, that's a new one. Hype. Okay. But here's an interesting thing. With that gap, there are many gaps. And when we go to the scripture, we have a gap. And that is that, for instance, we're going to be looking at some things about overcomers in the book of Revelation. And that was written over 2,000 years ago in a different language to different people in a different time. And so there's this gap that exists between that, the language gap, and, you know, we use some terminology too, the cultural gap. We experience that as missionaries and being in Africa. It's different when you live in a different culture and different cultures. And, you know, the understanding of one another. And so we need God's help to bridge that gap. And so tonight as we talk about overcomers, we're reminded that in the book of Revelation, if you want to turn there, we're going to be looking in chapter 2 of the book of Revelation. And here in this chapter, chapter 2 and chapter 3, there's 7 churches that are mentioned, 7 different churches that are mentioned. And each of these churches were, in fact, actual towns or cities at that time and physical locations. So when John, who wrote the book of Revelation, says to them, to the church at Ephesus, which we'll look at, that was an actual city, an actual town of real people with real problems and real needs, just like all of us. Now, let's define what it means to be an overcomer. I want to use this as sort of our handle for being an overcomer. And that is, the next slide, please. The one who by the grace of God and the power of the Holy Spirit is conquering and gaining victories in their everyday lives. Okay, I'll say that again while they're working on the slide. An overcomer is one who by the grace of God and the power of the Holy Spirit is conquering and gaining victories in their everyday lives. Now, none of us are perfect. I'm not perfect. You can check with my wife. Okay? None of us are perfect. So we are always in this process of growing, of gaining victories, of having some defeats, of learning some lessons, of growing. But as an overcomer in your life, you will overcome by the power of the Holy Spirit, the grace of God, gaining victory in your everyday lives. So we want victory. We want you to walk in victory. We all want to walk in victory. Turn to your neighbor and say, we want to walk in victory. By the way, that's what they do in Africa all the time. You know, you talk to each other in church. When the pastor tells you to. Okay. When the pastor tells you to. Okay. So, we are to walk in that victory. Now, when you want a victory and you don't succeed, it's very discouraging. And now, in Cameroon, in Africa, in most of the world, the most popular sport is what we call soccer or football. You knew that, right? 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 Football, as they say in Cameroon. And You know, last year, Cameroon won the African Cup, and this was an exciting event. We were watching it on TV in our living room, and when they scored, I would quickly take the remote and turn the TV down and listen, and our whole city literally roared. You could feel a city of 400,000, you know, we don't have air conditioning, we don't have closed windows, we don't, you know, it's, and the whole city was roaring. Why? Because they had attained a victory. And I believe the Lord wants there to be a shout of victory in our lives, that we are rejoicing in things that will be overcome in all of our lives as we share together this week. Now, the book of Revelation was written by a man by the name of John, the beloved apostle. And John loved the Lord Jesus, and the Lord Jesus loved John, and John loved these people in these churches. He may not have known every single one of them personally and intimately, but he loved them deeply. And I believe that your counselors and the people that are here this week, we're here together because we love you, and we all want to experience fresh and new victories. Amen? Now, this example, and let me say to you, I got thinking about camp. This is, you know, weeks ago, or I don't know how long ago it was that I was asked. And I had been just reading in the book of Revelation, the opening chapters, or reading the whole book, but I ended up back at the book of Revelation, and I saw these seven churches, and we can't talk about all seven of them, but next slide, please. I got thinking about the seven teenagers of Revelation, okay? So we're going to personalize some of these churches and see what is applicable from the example that is given there for you. And in doing so, we would appreciate then that this is a description. The next slide, please. Revelation chapter 2 and 3. And then again, the next slide. These are real places with real people with real victories. And Jesus is the one who is speaking these words and saying these things to the seven churches. And Jesus is going to be speaking to you this week, and speaking to your situation personally and intimately, and guiding you that you will live in victory and be an overcomer. Ah, can we go one more slide, or I think maybe one more, and then again another one, please. Go ahead, one more. Really? Maybe it's slow because I'm old. Okay. Coming back here to North America, I have really enjoyed some pretty special hamburgers. I love a good hamburger, you know, fresh hamburger. How many like a good hamburger? Oh, yes, okay. Fresh meat, you know, and cooked to perfection. All of the appropriate, you know, maybe some bacon on it, right? Yes, and some real cheese, not those slice things, but real cheese, and you know, ketchup and mustard, whatever, you know, some of those additions, some lettuce. You got to put one piece of lettuce on so I can tell my wife I had my vegetables, you know, a good hamburger. And as well as a hamburger, it's really great to be able to have a good hamburger with other people that are enjoying the hamburger, right? You know, you're there, you're with friends, and you're going, and this burger comes, and it's so delicious, and you can barely get it in your hands, and you're, you know, really working to open your mouth and take a bite out of it. That's so good, and your friend is enjoying it together. So together, you know, it's kind of like, it's great to have a burger, and it's great to have it together with friends. And really, to me, that speaks about a fellowship, a camaraderie of sharing in some of those things. And that's an area where, well, we'll see in a few moments how I believe that maybe in the Bible we use different terms to describe, maybe in a, you know, talk about fruit and eating fruit, and those things are all good, but I don't know, burgers just kind of do it for me. Okay. You know, to me, you know, if you offer me an apple, a pear, or a burger, I mean, the burger's got it hands down. So, okay. I don't know. Nobody else is with me on that, I'm sure. So, you know, we got to eat those other things as well, or at least have a bite once in a while. So, let's talk tonight about the teenagers of Ephesus. Next slide, please. And they could be anybody, okay? So we're looking at, doesn't matter where you come from by background, the color of your skin. And you know something I've noticed? People are people, are people, are people, are people. I've just noticed that people are people. Haven't you noticed that? And though there may be small differences because of our background or other things, the reality is flesh, is humanity. So the teenagers of Ephesus. I want to talk for a moment about their reputation. Number one, next slide, please. Now, in the opening of this chapter, chapter 2, the angel of the church at Ephesus write, "These things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand and who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands." And then he says here in verse 2, "I know your works." Okay, I know what you do, your labor, your patience, that you cannot bear those who are evil. You have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them as liars. So this is a description that Jesus says about this church, their reputation. Now, this church at Ephesus was a very, very rich church. And they were a prosperous city. They were a large city. And in the city, I mean, they had a theater that held 25,000 people. I mean, it's huge. And this was a metropolis with all kinds of things going on. In the midst of this, the Lord used Paul the Apostle to plant a church. And the believers there were, you know, they began to trust in the Lord. And that city was known for a religion of a temple of Dionysia, who was, you know, worshipped. And, you know, in their day, that was their God. In our day, it's different things. You know, we have that economic prosperity. People all rush to the United States to get that economic prosperity. Where we live in Africa, there are so many people who make so, as they say, small money. I don't need to describe that to you. You know what that is, right? Small money. They don't make very much money. A laborer, a professional could make $1,000 or $1,500 CFA a day. And you're going, what in the world is that? That's maybe $3 a day would be a good paying job. How many of you want to settle for $3 an hour? Okay. You know, so they had this you know, prosperity. We have such prosperity here. In the average American grocery store, there are probably about 48,000 choices that you can choose of food. In our city where we live in Africa, 400,000, we have what, three or four little grocery stores that would be no bigger than this room. And very limited choices. We live in so much. We're like Ephesus. We have so much prosperity. So many things that we own. So many things that are ours, you know, that we have in abundance. And vehicles and all of those things. But then, let's go to the next slide here for a moment. We have, what does a teenager of the reputation, what is the reputation of a good teenager from Ephesus? Well, you know, they attend church, they watch appropriate movies, they listen to those in authority when they're spoken to, they help others, they hang out with good friends, they're conscious of dressing appropriately, you know, they may think about all of it, all looks very good. And what happened was when Jesus addressed each of these churches, he made what was going on in the secular and the natural, he said was also going on in the spiritual. So Ephesus was known for being a very busy church. They had church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, you know, cell groups, other events going on. They had all of these things going on. And they were appreciated. If we look here in Revelation 2 and verse 6, He says, but this you have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. And there were religious, that was a religious thing. You know, he hated that as well. They commended them for those things. They wanted to clear up false doctrine. They wanted to believe right. They wanted to do all of those things that were appropriate and proper. But the reality was, this reputation sounded so good. They worked, they labored, verse 2. They had patience in all that they did. They had accomplished many things with their reputation. And, you know, patience, it mentions here the word, the thought of the works and the labor and the patience. They had all of these things. But we see, though, if you want to go to the next slide, the reality of what was going on. And this is what John was addressing, because, in fact, even though they had all of these things that were so wonderful in their lives, the reality was, is it was different. In chapter 2 and verse 4, Jesus says then to them, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. You've left your first love. In other words, even though they were doing all, they were going to youth camp, they were, you know, maybe their parents were going to convention, they were in church regularly, they played or led worship, you know, they lived, you know, they did all the right things. But the reality is this, next slide please. Maybe when no one's watching, they're watching movies they should not watch. Maybe there's pride, you know. They spend time getting ready and it's all about pride rather than just, you know, doing what has to be done. Maybe they're lying, deceiving. Maybe there's bad language, pornography. Maybe in their hearts, maybe in your hearts, maybe there's rebellious plans. When I get to university, when I get to college, and I get away from dad and mom, and I get away from the pastor. The reality is that for them, there was such a contrast here. It looked so good, but in its heart, it wasn't. It looked so wonderful, but at its heart, in reality, it wasn't looking very good. Now, we come to camp, and it's always exciting. You know, you come to camp, and the Lord's moving. The Lord's already spoken prophetically tonight. And I believe we all come with a sense of anticipation that the Lord will do something for us. But tonight, I want to encourage you to think about the reality of your life. And it isn't just what happens at camp, but it's what happens when you leave here. Have you caught yourself doing things, saying things, considering seriously acting out something that is wrong? Now, temptation is not sin. My pastor, when I was a teenager, Pastor John Heyer, used to always say, you can't stop the birds from flying over your head, but you can stop them from making a nest in your hair. Now, I have the ultimate solution for no nests in my hair. You know, they can make it. But the thought, temptations are always... Have you ever had a thought come to your mind and go, oh, I'm so bad that I would think such a terrible thing? Well, you know what? We all face those terrible things. The sin comes in dwelling on it. The sin comes from seriously planning to do it or begin to consider it and then ultimately acting upon it. But it is even a sin as we dwell upon it. So, what is the remedy for this? What is the remedy? Okay? What is the remedy? Next slide, please. Revelation 2 and verse 5. Revelation 2 and verse 5. Jesus says this to the church there. He says, remember therefore from where you have fallen. Repent and do the first works, or I'll also come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. So here we see this sobering up of, you know, what are you doing? What's happening? Remember from where you have fallen. I've been directing. I was directing youth camps when I was in my early 20s. And it's so exciting when I encounter someone from those days that's still serving the Lord. Amen? I see that many times. It's also, though, very disappointing when I encounter someone who's not serving the Lord. So here, Jesus says, go back and do those first works again and repent. And meaning, what's the remedy? What's the solution? How do we deal with this issue? We do this by recognizing the loss of things that we once had and the reality of what we need to return to in our relationship with the Lord. Can you remember what it was like when you first came to the Lord Jesus? When, you know, I was not raised in a Christian home. I always tell this story, and I'm sorry I keep making reference to Africa, but that's where we live. I always tell this story when I'm in Africa. I'll say, you know what? My wife is married to a pastor. Her father is a pastor. Her brother is a pastor. Her grandfathers on both sides were pastors. My parents were pagans. My brothers were pagans. My grandparents on both sides were pagans. None of them were serving. So when I came to the Lord as a teenager, it was all new to me. And I still remember, even when I say this to you, I can close my eyes and I can see where I was when I gave my heart to Jesus, the very place and the very moment that it happened. And I opened my heart to Him and I began to walk with Him. And we learned that little chorus, you know, I've decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back, no turning back. And that became my theme. I was never going to turn back. May you always overcome and never turn back. May you always be one who over. If you fall down, you get up. You ask God's forgiveness. You press on. You go on in the Lord. Can you remember and take time even right now to reflect on that first time when you were at camp and you experienced the Lord? Now, camp can be very emotional. And sometimes we then can get addicted to that emotion. And, you know, sometimes love isn't all about emotions. That's our problem today. You know, it's like, oh, I fell in love with her, you know, and all, you know, falling in and falling out. Love is not a matter of falling in it and falling out of it. Jesus loves us, and we are to love Him. And He gave His life on the cross of Calvary out of love. You know the verse so well, for God so loved the world. So that love is expressed in the cross of Calvary. And tonight, as we begin with this thought of the teenager from Ephesus, it's simply this. Where are you tonight? Do you need to repent? Now, repentance simply means to change your mind. And if you come here and you hear prophecies and you worship the Lord and you become emotional or you fall down or something happens in your life, but you don't change the way that you think, your life will not be changed. So the transformation of the gospel, what Jesus wants to do, He wants to change the way that we are thinking by changing us spiritually and then our choices and decisions being made differently because of our love for the Lord. So in Revelation 2 and verse 5, He says, remember therefore from where you have fallen, repent and do these first works of which else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. Verse 6, the Nicolaitans, verse 7, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to him to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Now, we want to return to that first love. Next slide, please. That first love begins at the cross of Calvary. And I so appreciate every month, you know, when I was a pastor, having communion, because it like brought us back to the communion table, to the cross of Christ, to surrender to the Lord. And knowing that it's there that we can receive the strength. Next slide, please. What is the reward? Well, chapter 2 and verse 7 says that we get to eat of this tree of life. Now, I don't want to be disrespectful. We know that the tree of life is making reference to the book of Genesis and the fruit. Now, I have a different tree of life here. I have a tree of life that has burgers on it. Okay. So you can envision this, you know, a little bit differently tonight. But the thought here is this, that eating of that tree of life includes, according to verse 7, includes the strength and the things that are involved in receiving that physical thing that we're eating. But it's that thought of fellowship and relationship in the paradise of God, with God, together with Him. So I doubt it'll actually be burgers, but, you know, we're illustrating them. Now, next slide, please. Questions. Do you love the Lord? Do you love the Lord? Have you given your heart to the Lord? Have you lost your first love for the Lord? Or do you need to rekindle that love in your life tonight? Even as a pastor, missionary, whoever we are, whatever we do, we all have to love the Lord and know Him and continue to walk in His ways and His purposes in our lives. Tonight, think about the teenager of Ephesus, one of the seven teenagers of the book of Revelation, okay? There was this picture of how he looked. Everybody looked at him or her and thought, they're so wonderful. Everything, they got it together. Everything's good. But Jesus sees our heart, sees the reality of our lives, and confronts us not to condemn us, but to encourage us that we would change any thinking that's not good. So tonight for you, next slide, please. I believe our desire, your desire, is to be an overcomer. Amen? Overcomer. This is our theme this week, that we will be and continue to be overcomers. We need that wisdom, you know, that tree of life, the thought of wisdom is there as well. Enjoying it freely in fellowship with the Lord is so important. Interesting tonight when we arrived upstairs to have dinner. Just talk. Everybody's in groups talking. How many of you were so glad to see a friend from last camp, right? How many? Okay, it was great to fellowship, to talk. How are you doing? How's it going? You've probably been emailing and texting and, you know, everything, you know, a lot. I walked into a room recently with some teenagers. I think there was four or five of them. They're all sitting there with their phones going like this. I said, who are you talking to? Each other. You know. Okay, why can't you open your mouth and look at each other's face in fellowship, you know, rather than, you know, texting. But anyway, yes, it's good to meet. It's good to fellowship. It's good to share with one another. But our priority is to meet with the Lord. So tonight, I leave you with that simple challenge. Are you like the teenager of Ephesus? Is there a facade of all these things out front that everyone sees and it's good? But the reality is that you need to come back to your first love and have that solid foundation in your life. Could you bow your heads, please? Could I have those that are coming and playing and closing? Pastor Daniel, are you there somewhere? Why don't you just come and just begin to play quietly for a few moments. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Just as your heads are bowed, I want you to think about, this is a church 2,000 years ago, the other side of the world. And this is what they were faced with. But we're bridging that gap tonight because the reality is that it is applicable to us as well. And that if you've left your first love, if you're not keeping that priority, the Lord tonight is saying, come to me. Come to me. Meet me. Let me speak to you afresh and anew. Affirm that you've decided to follow me. No turning back. No turning back. I'm going to ask Daniel just to lead in a song for a few moments, and let's just wait on the Lord.